This is the 10 o'clock Haymaker.
Hey, man, Vern, I ain't going to lie to you. Many people are talking about this is going to be the game of the week. This thing is going to get ugly. It will not be close on Sunday.
From the show, Hughley, I'm Josh Vern. Your show in Vern, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
See, Vern, I'm not going to say people who have come to the conclusion that this game is going to be tight between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Hey, these are the two most exciting teams the first 2 weeks. These are probably have been, you could say, the best offenses along with the Patriots the first 2 weeks. And they've won their games comfortably. And Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes are probably the two leading candidates after 2 weeks for the MVP. They've been the best two players. I get it. The Chiefs have injuries. Their left tackle is out. Their most dynamic player is out in Tyreek Hill. The backfield looks like Damian Williams. Their starting running back may not go. LeSean McCoy was limited. I get it. But Vern, man, there are so many elements here. One, styles make fights, all right? And I've said this in the offseason. I remember telling you all this last year. There is no way that Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton are going to beat Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid in a primetime game. No way. And I said it wouldn't be close, and they beat the hell out of the Bengals. And the Bengals were playing good going into that game. No way it's going to happen. And I just feel the matchup here is bad for the Ravens. They're a team that I don't believe, that I trust, that can be good trailing. When you start to make them one-dimensional and make Lamar Jackson have to beat you when you know he's not going to run it, I believe that changes their entire team. And they're a good football team. They really are. They're a good football team, but sometimes styles aren't the right way. Like LSU, historically. LSU over the last decade or so, when Les was there and now Ed's there, they've had really good talent and have been a good team. They just struggle against Alabama. And they struggle against that team, just matchups.
Now, Saban used to crush Les Miles.
Right, man. And just matchups for them. And they would have the same amount of talent. Sometimes LSU had better talent than Alabama. They just, for some reason, those styles, maybe it's the coaches, whatever, they just could not get past Alabama. And I see that here with the Ravens, even with the Chiefs' injuries. And another one, man, you talked about, and I've talked about, like, hey, the Chiefs need to be ready to go every week, understanding, like, you're going to get your team's best shot because you're the circle game. Well, this is a game that the Chiefs are ready for. It's the home opener. It's the first game in Arrowhead this year. Now they're playing against one of the darling teams, maybe a quarterback that's actually talked about more than Patrick Mahomes, their own. All you've heard all week is how amazing Lamar Jackson has been. The Chiefs are up and ready. There's no slow start like they had against the Raiders this week. Because of that, man, I'm stepping out right. I'm telling you, man, this thing is more than a touchdown victory for the Chiefs.
The great Stephen Spector, of course, has his podcast at the 435 Podcast Network, Pray for the Push. I would recommend everyone listen to it, especially when I'm on it. And I was on it earlier this week.
Lord Hill.
Told you to take the under last night on Thursday Night Football. Also said, hammer 6.5, Chiefs laying 6.5 with the Baltimore Ravens. Ron, somehow that line has gone down. I see you can get Chiefs minus
really?
Six
I think
right
I,
now.
I don't bet. I think I'm going to do it.
No, don't start betting, man.
Do it.
I'm going to talk it over with my wife. But
I've got two kids.
Let's
man.
Do it. Let's all do it.
I'm going to talk it over with my wife. I feel so good about it.
You still better run it by her, man. Just run it by her.
He texted her.
Just give me the cash. I'll do it for you.
Does anyone bet with her? Does people bet with cash?
Yeah, you can. Run it by her and never give cash to Steven Serta.
I never will.
I'm with you. I'm with you because of the Mike Tyson effect as well. Look, Lamar, this is, as we've talked about throughout the week, this is your first test. I don't believe that you're up for this test hanging with a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offense. I don't think that you can. So that and really that alone, because I have no idea what to expect from the defense against Lamar and this running game. I have no idea. That is the storyline of this
game. Oh, I think they'll be successful at times. I just think the Chiefs' offense is going to dictate the game.
Yes. They will, I'm not going to say have a 28-point quarter, but the haymakers that they throw over four quarters, I just can't imagine that Ravens offense nor the Ravens defense being able to withstand those haymakers.
At some point, the Chiefs will get up 10 or two scores.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right.
Even with this defense or whatever, even, and I think Lamar has improved, Vern. I really do. He's throwing the football better, but they're going to get up 10 or two scores. And now it is, please run it. Try us. Mm-hmm. Try to run. Now you better score and you better give up this. Because if you're going to waste this time, and when I say score, you better score sevens. Like you better score. Because if you don't, then we're coming right back, and Pat's probably going to put it on you again. And now that two score turns closer towards three, and now we know you got to throw it. And let me see you drop back with Lamar.
Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale on the quarterback matchup of Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
The NFL is in good hands with these young quarterbacks, and I think you're going to see two great quarterbacks in this game. You know, we might be seeing the next Brady Manning matchup, Ali Frazier, Magic Bird. I don't, you know, you don't know, but the excitement of it, you know, leading off of your question, because all these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks that are coming out, they can extend plays.
And of course, that got away from Wink. Ali Frazier.
Is that what it got away from him?
Yeah, all of it did. But really, Ali Frazier, Magic Bird, why not? I mean, he'd have been better with Sanford.
I think both Aggies. Peyton and Tom are kind of pissed. Hey, Lamar ain't this.
Come on, yet. Man. I mean, you were last year. There were points where you weren't completely sure he was better than Tim Tebow.
Right.
All right, so let's slow down. Hey, he could have said Sampras Agassi.
No, something that would have been disrespectful too.
Michael Chang and Agassi, maybe. But no, listen. A lot of people have tried to do that, right? Put this together, the next one, because we remember every time we would see the Colts and or the Broncos, wherever Peyton was against the Patriots. Like, that was a rivalry that was fun to watch those two quarterbacks. And it's not just those two quarterbacks, Vern. Both of them, the Colts and the Broncos and the Patriots, were well-run organizations that put their teams in situations to be dominant, like those two teams were the dominant one, along with the Steelers, who were the third team, in my opinion. I would say this. I don't think Lamar is the best quarterback out of the group. I think Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Lamar. I think Baker still, if I had to put money on it, Baker has more talent and a better quarterback than he is. But I would say I think that if I had to look at it right now, and I'd say, all right, right now, from the info you got right now, over the next 10, 15 years, which could potentially be that matchup, I'd say it is these two teams. Because I do think that in their divisions, and divisions matters because if you win the divisions, you then get to the playoffs, I think they are head and shoulders much more well-run than any of the other teams in their division. I know many of you are saying, hold on, the Steelers are in their division. The Steelers, for the last 4 or 5 years, have been masquerading like they're a good organization. We just remember them from the past. No, they have had the Antonio Brown situation blow up in their face.
And they've been drafting well.
That they allow. Well, at some positions.
As long as you can do that, that'll keep you around.
At some positions, but some things. Defensively, they have not drafted well. Defensively, that defense with Mike Tomlin, a defensive coach, has gotten worse and worse. Now, we thought they did better this year, but before this, they have not been great in the draft defensively. They let the Le'Veon Bell thing blow up in their face and didn't get anything for it. They've got a general manager. This should tell you the most. They've got a general manager who has one of the worst leaders in NFL history in Ben Roethlisberger, and then he went and came out publicly and said it's Ben and 52 other children. Like, they are not a great organization. We know the Browns, and then the Bengals are just the Bengals. And then we know this division that is head and shoulders. Deshaun is the one that could jump in there, but I just, along with, like I said, about the Steelers, their organization is so.
Ron, it sounds like you're just making a point that if you're going to invest in two coaches right now for the long term in the AFC, it's Andy Reid and John Harbaugh.
It's not just the coaches, though. It's everything. Like, I think their ownership is better. And I think,
if I told you Belichick's around for the next, what'd you say, 10, 12 years, wouldn't the Patriots supplant the Ravens? Isn't this all about coach?
Yeah, I don't. But that's another thing. I don't think that Belichick's already pushing 70, and I don't think Brady's going to be around in that time frame. I said I don't think that Brady's going to be there in 12 years because you
would have bet on that.
You just never know. But I don't think that they're going to be there. So I do think it's going to be a new a new squad, a group of teams. And you feel really comfortable about the Chiefs. Like, I would like to say the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
So then you feel comfortable with the Chiefs after Andy?
Yeah,
if we're saying that, you know, if we're sending Belichick off to pasture, we should probably do the same with Andy.
Yeah, but I think the Chiefs are a well-run organization. I think business-wise, they make decisions. If you just look, I think Clark, you thought, was shaky at first. If you just look at the decisions that Clark has made since he's really taken over, Scott Pioli was the right move. Now, he turned out to not be good, but it doesn't mean that wasn't the right. If you had your owner, you would have loved to have made the move for Scott Pioli to run your organization because he was the best candidate at the time. And then Andy Reid obviously was. And you see this. And I think he is developing a culture right here and right now with this team. So, yes, I do trust. And Pat's going to be there. So, I mean, Pat's going to be there, and you're not going to really mess that up a lot.
Protein LZ with a purpose, text line 69306. Listener number 11, I'm scared that Spoons is so confident. Listener number 13, show, please don't give this the show stamp of approval. It's a fair warning from the text line. The last time I heard you this confident in a Chiefs game, now again, I share the confidence.
Was the Bengals, wasn't it?
No.
What?
The last time you were this confident was Chiefs Chargers, Thursday night, red on red, Tony G back in the house, Eric Berry returning. Baby, they ain't losing this game. Didn't two of the defenders run into one another in the end zone, giving up the game?
That's Lando. It was Lando. It was just Lando.
It was rough.
Mike Williams just Lando.
Best game of his career.
Yeah, I think that was the last time you were really confident.
It was just Lando.
Protein House, eat with a purpose, text line 69306. We will take your
thoughts. You ain't got to worry about it. There is no show curse.
We will take your thoughts on the aforementioned show curse the AFC powers. You go right ahead. Dial us up. We'll give you the last word, 913-576-7610.
Really, you don't have to worry about it.
913-576-7610.
Five and seven right now. I will put the show's stamp of approval, not just that the Chiefs will win the game. Oh. They will win it by more than a touchdown. That's more than six, right?
Yes.
They will win the game by more than a touchdown. Chiefs. Show's stamp of approval. I feel that good about it. Show's stamp of approval
right now.
The Chiefs will beat the Ravens by more than a touchdown. Mark it. Just think about Tiger. You remember what I did for Tiger? What about I should have? That was my fault.
For those that
I was a little hogless last week. I told you that the Lions were going to beat the Chargers. And damn it, they did.
I will say this to the Chiefs kingdom. Normally when Ron makes
these. You didn't
know
what to call him, did you?
No, I didn't. Normally when Ron makes these proclamations, he backs off the mic. And that always tells me that he's not confident in what he just said. He didn't budge. He made this pick and did not budge. It's the first time I've actually felt good about the stamp of approval.
And listen, you can feel confident. You can feel confident. You spoke of last year's Chargers-Chiefs game. That was me working as a fan a bit. That was me with the fandom of the Chiefs coming. Now, I don't have a dog in the fight. As a scout's honor, I don't give a damn if the Chiefs win or lose. All right, this is not a fan portion of me taking this. This is me just looking at these two teams and knowing football and saying, man, that's just not a good matchup.
Here's Andy Reid earlier this week when asked about forcing the run. The run struggled in week two. The defense is daring you. Do you start to force the run in order to establish a running game moving forward?
Well, you want it to go. I mean, it's not something that you don't want it to work, but if a defense is doing that, then it's hard for them to do everything. So we don't care. I mean, if you're going to do that, then we're going to do this. We don't fight that. I mean, we're not going to bang our head up against the wall on that. We're going to try to find, the trick is trying to find what's going to work at that time, whether it's run, pass, you know, whatever it is.
Nice to hear, and I knew this. I believe that I knew this about Andy Reid, that he's not going to force a square peg into a round hole. But the way that he ends it there with figuring out what's going to work, how in the world is the run ever the thing that's going to work?
Oh, you're just, that's just really a question.
Someone explained to me a scenario when, while Andy's tinkering around early on in the game with the first 15, or whatever is laid before him over the first half of a game, tell me when he hits half and says, like Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick did midway through last season, all right, we got to become a running team.
Well, I know
the run is the thing that works.
I know you, Vern, and I know you thought this through. What is it? There has to be a reasoning. There has to be something that makes you feel like that wouldn't be the case. I think many people would say it's because Pat's so good. And that
Pat's
Andy,
so good. Andy's so good. You have Pat in the pocket, Pat outside of the pocket, deep down the field, intermediate passes, the screen game. Those, a combination of those five things to me will always present themselves available in any given game.
I think many people would say it's because they don't want the running game to ever be the best. They don't, because they choose to have the passing game because that's what they're best.
If they had Kareem, I wouldn't say this. If they had Kareem, I could easily understand, oh, he's just shoving it down their throats. Let's ride that. That can't happen with this stable of backs.
Wow, that was an aggressive.
What?
Less sex, more sports, man. I think you doubled down on
that.
What are you talking about? Here's my thought is, I think everything that you're saying that I think a lot of people are thinking, well, yeah, the run game won't ever be at the top because of that. I think those are valid points. I think the other point is, it's because I just don't think the offensive line, even at full strength, is good enough to where you can just say, all right, we're going to take what the defense gives us. Because there are times, because I think about Peyton Manning in his time with the Colts and Broncos, there would be many a times where teams would just say, all right, man, we're going to play our guys back. We're going to have the box light, and we're going to give you run fit so you don't just throw the ball. And Peyton is very much like LeBron. He's going to take the best play, and whatever it is, if it's him not being selfish, they got 5-6 guys in the box, Peyton's going to run it. And their offensive line was good enough to do that. And I've watched games where Peyton in Denver and Indianapolis would just run it because that's what the fits were. I don't think the Chiefs' offensive line, especially interior-wise, are good enough to just say, even though they're giving us run fits where we should run the ball, you guys just go off and whoop their asses, and we're just going to keep running it until we force them to come out of it. Because Peyton did that a lot. I just don't think the offensive line is good enough. So I think your point is right as well, but I don't think the offensive line is ever good enough for them to be able to just whoop people's tails.
Again, coming up in just about 15 minutes from right now, the highest-rated segment here on Show and Vern, Little Show and Uncle Vern.
Week by week show.
No, it's every Friday again. Every Friday at 10:35.
Newsflash.
Week so by week. Newsflash.
Kind of already gave away my pick.
Earlier this week, a woman told Sports Illustrated that while painting a mural at one of Antonio Brown's homes in 2017, the Patriots wide receiver made an unwanted sexual advance. She did not reciprocate, and then Brown refused to pay her for the mural he had contracted her for. Now she's telling Sports Illustrated that she was included in a group text chain that started Wednesday night with Antonio Brown, in which he accused the artist of fabricating the story and encouraged the other members of the chat to dig into her past.
Do you think he thinks? Or you think he just goes and just reacts and does stuff?
No, he's an idiot. I mean,
you're still rooting for him, by the way. Are you still?
Oh, yeah, people doing him dirty. But, yeah, he's an idiot.
That's right, folks. Baby Jesus here, Josh Vernier. The man who drove you to where you wanted to be in 14 and 15, who left you in tears in both 14 and 15, is openly rooting for Antonio Brown and believes, as he said, I quote, people are doing him dirty.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question real quick.
What? Do I believe Antonio wears condoms? No. Go.
What makes you a bigger a-hole? Not paying someone for a job that you hired them to do? Or going, you know what this house needs? A big-ass mural of myself. What makes you a bigger a-hole?
No, well, not paying.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you read that full Sports Illustrated
article? I could hang out with someone that skips on a bill. I couldn't hang out with someone that's saying, make a big old painting of me, please.
But he's got
my whole
a laundry list of people that he is just refusing to pay. There's all kinds of people that are filing civil suits.
I'll show you at the break, and I may tweet it out. My entire college, life in my bedroom, I had a humongous photo of myself when I was like 3 years old, right over the top of my bed.
What?
I was in my mom had dressed. My mom had dressed me up in the sailor suit, and I had like a bit of a jerry curl, and it drove the ladies nuts.
Wait.
And then I lost it.
Why did that drive the ladies?
All I can imagine right now is you engaging in a sexual act and looking at yourself as a three-year-old while doing that.
Dressed in a sailor outfit?
It was that. You remember back then, those sailor outfits that they used to just. Some of y'all know your mom put y'all in them sailor outfits, the polos and the things, had the suspenders or whatever that came up. Those sailor outfits.
Maybe blow it up on a poster to turn ladies on.
It's a two-shotter, too. Like, it's one where I'm full body, and then up in the other side, it's just my face. Like, it was it. I'll show it to you in the break.
Please do.
All right, as Vern said, coming up, that's another one I didn't mean to say out loud. Coming up, our number one rated segment that you all love, Little Show and Uncle Vern, the best gambling segment in the world. And I know this goes against all football holy, everything that is holy in football. But the great Therese Paylor said something, Vern, that I just completely disagree with. We'll get into that next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Welcome back to Show and Vern. 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports entertainment starts right now.
Coming up in just a bit, the highest rated segment on Show and Vern. Little Show and Uncle Vern. Vern is just cracking up.
Man, right, these sailor outfits.
Brian be shining. I told you I didn't. Brian be shining.
Send more of those.
Yeah, I'm about to send out my picture of me and the photo I had that was in my bedroom throughout my entire years of college.
That's weird, man.
Hey, it worked, baby. It was that.
I feel like it could have worked better if it was somewhere else other than above your bed.
I don't think you know the combination of that mural and that photo of me blown up and that Songs About Jane album with Maroon 5. The wins that I was able to collect over that time with that combination. But we'll get to Little Show and Uncle Vern, the best gambling segment we have here. And I just listen, before we get to that, Vern, I love Therese. If you miss Therese Paylor show each and every Monday at 6 and BK, crush it. You want to listen to that every single week. But he said something that I heard, and I totally disagree with this.
I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's special. And you know why? The game has become such a passing frenzy, such an open offense game. This is not 1999 anymore. With a quarterback like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, you know what you could have done 20 years ago? There's a bounty. Let's knock this guy out the game. Let's go. We're gonna hit him every play. We're going to hit him after the play. We're going to hit him during the play. First guy to knock this guy out. But you can't do that anymore. This is a completely different game.
Yeah, I just totally disagree with that, Vern. Yes, most quarterbacks, you can't do that. In fact, Vern, If there were a prop bet, and I know you shouldn't do this, if there's a prop bet on if Lamar Jackson will finish this game, if the odds were good, I would really look at doing that because he's different than other quarterbacks. Yes, if you sit in the pocket or even scramble and run the way that Russell Wilson does or Pat does sometimes, like even that point is different because you could slide and not get hit. Man, he runs like a back, Vern. He runs and does quarterback sweeps. Like, he is the primary back He is like the running back. He's running through in a way where once he becomes a runner like that, and as often as he becomes a runner like that, you get to hit him in a similar way that Jalen Ramsey hit Tyreek Hill that has Tyreek Hill out for over a month. Those hits wouldn't be legal when he's a runner. That is generally illegal, except unless you're Chris Jones, who did it to Nick Foles. But generally, that type of hit is illegal when he's as a quarterback. He runs it so much like a back that, yes, he can get knocked out of the game. If you don't believe me, if you think I'm overblowing it, go look back to last year's Ravens-Chiefs game. Go remember the overtime, or go pull it up on YouTube right now. Go remember who finished the game for the Ravens. It wasn't Lamar. It was Bad Hair Day, RG3. He finished the game. He came in because the Chiefs knocked out Lamar. Oh, no, he's different. Lamar can easily be knocked out of this game with the amount of times that he runs as a runner.
This is so sad, Ron.
What?
Just let your son shine for a moment. Before we get to Little Show and Uncle Vern, you got to give your prop bet. Your prop bet of Lamar Jackson not finishing the game?
It just came to me.
You're not a gambler.
I'm just saying I love Therese. I just completely disagree with him.
Probably would get really good odds on that.
Would it?
Oh, that'd be
terrific. Is that something that is prop bet worthy?
You could find someone to take a bet on just about anything. I'm sure some of the scallywags that Serta runs around with.
I've run with a few.
I'm sure you got a few bookies in there.
Oh. Cash bets. All day.
Let's get to it.
Little Show and Uncle Vern, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up.
You know what time it is. Hey, Uncle Vern.
Little Show, good morning. Here we are, week number three of the NFL season, week number three of gambling. And a shout out to you once again, a perfect 2-0, taking the Green Bay Packers last week at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Well done.
No congratulations needed. You know that's just what we do over here, baby.
Oh, God. Wow, if you that's your son, man.
He get a little,
right? Getting a little too confident there, little show.
How well did you do, Uncle Vern?
How well did you do, Uncle Vern?
My first loss.
I ain't gonna lie, he's been talking about this all weekend. Yeah.
I took my first loss, but if you go back and listen to last week's edition of...
He was watching Washington-Dallas hard.
If you go back and listen, you could hear that I had a little bit of panic, a little bit of... You know,
punk in you.
No, not punk. What I wanted to do last week was ride with that Colts game. I ended up panicking at the last moment. I chose the Washington Redskins. Yes, I'm 1-1 through 2 weeks, but I'll be honest, I don't really count last week. I was much like Serta was yesterday. I was unprepared. I was caught off guard. I do not accept that loss. I'll move on from it, but. Don't read too much into it. I still got your back. I got you on college football.
Okay, whatever. Let's just get to my winner this week. The Raiders! They're getting 8.5 in Minnesota. It's where my dad keeps on taking me on vacation for some reason.
All right, man, you guys do go to Minnesota a lot.
Chill out, Doug.
You guys do.
First, did he just cut you off?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I could do that to you. I don't like the disrespect that he's given. Right now. And chill out about the Minnesota thing, man.
I'd be more frustrated about the fact that he doesn't like Minnesota, and he is letting you know it.
Hey, that's for you and your Raiders, Dad.
All right, man. Chill out, man. They are not my Raiders. They are not. I don't have – the Raiders are –
the
hell? I'm not a Raiders fan.
Sean Levine's actually in the survivor pool taking the Minnesota Vikings, so the son has your Raiders, as he said.
Stop.
Plus I also took the Raiders.
No.
In the Survivor.
No, you did not. You
took the Titans.
Huge liar. You took the Tennessee Titans. Me this week, I gave it away earlier. It is the Chiefs laying 6. Just like I told you to hammer Chiefs laying 4 in week 1.
So you're just going to go back to this well, huh?
Gambling's gambling. Do you want money or not, Ron?
Wow.
you said earlier you think it's going to be a
all I'm saying
bigger than a touchdown.
All I'm saying is my son is 2-0, right? And he's really picking games that aren't just wow.
Take the Chiefs, hammer the six.
I hope it works out.
For those taking advice for you, Uncle Vern, in fact, little show,
it's going to send some prayers up for you.
Yeah. Like I tell a lot of people, I don't need your prayers. Anyway, you're coming off a loss as well, little show. Was he aware of this throughout the course of the week? Were you understanding that your little haymaker from a week ago was
What are you talking about?
The haymaker was a big old L in week number two for little show.
I won.
You did not. 44 and a half yards, right?
That's cheap. No, that was the prop bet. You were a lot because you had told me it was 46 while we were sitting there the whole time.
No. Ron,
I told you. At winning streaks, you did. And then you're like, oh.
Someone tweeted at us while we were out there and said that McColl's touchdown was 46. No, the bet that Little Show had last week was 44 and a half yards, that there would be a touchdown scored in the game longer than 44 and a half yards. There were two long touchdowns. McColl's was 42. And DeMarcus's touchdown was only 44, so that's a big ol' L.
Two things, Uncle Vern. For one, those old guys out there spotted the ball wrong. So it should have been 45 yards. And for two, if you counted DeMarcus's stats, it was well past 44 and a half yards.
What the hell are you talking about?
He's five. I mean, I get him. I get how he puts it together.
He blames the referees.
Oh, but like the amount of field that he covered.
In his mind, I can see him being.
I'm sorry, bud, but that's not how gambling works. That's a big old L. Okay.
Don't butt myself.
I know, but let's not start with the sort of like excuses.
He won, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, okay, if you want Serta on your side,
it's like I picked the Raiders.
Okay. Little show, you got Serta on your side, so I hope you're happy with that.
Anyway, I'm done arguing, since I've clearly been the dominant one on this gambling show. I would like all of us to sing a song.
What? All right, man, chill out, though. Just let's stop this.
Huh? What song?
Wants us to sing a song?
What song?
I don't want to hear it, so repeat after me.
No, we're not.
I'm not. Just let's move past this.
Hamburger, cheeseburger, lettuce, and tomato.
He really loves this. Cheeseburger, lettuce, and tomato.
Baked ham bones and french fried potatoes.
Baked ham bones and french fried potatoes.
Hot dog, chili dog, barbecue.
Hot dog, chili dog, barbecue.
And a mustard and a pickle and a Mountain Dew.
And a mustard and a pickle and a Mountain Dew.
One more time, just a little bit louder.
No, we're not doing this again. God, what are we? Man, what is this?
So we got to say that too?
I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm not doing this.
This piece says,
singing songs.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm hammering the six. Little show's taking the Raiders, getting 8.5 in Minnesota. We do it each and every Friday. It is Little Show and Uncle Vern. I never heard that song before, Ron.
Is
that a Hughley household classic right
there? He really loves the hamburger.
Is that a family song or is that a real song?
It's
like people listening, were they singing along with it as well? Because I never heard that.
I don't know. He just forced us to sing this song.
Little Show and Uncle Vern each and every Friday at 10:35. Hammer that six, guys. I'm telling you, Chiefs laying six. It's an easy win.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to have a conversation with him when I get home. All right, let's move past whatever that was. I think that Bob Sutton, understandably, was blamed for a ton of the issues defensively last year. And I get it, Vern. Him and Emmett were just awful. They were awful, two of the worst coaching jobs we've seen ever between the two of them. But I think there's one thing that I don't think we should completely put on them from last year that could be problematic in this game on Sunday, and that is, how can I put this? In terms of football, they were really stupid. Just like the players in general. they were stupid. Like, they just
wait, what?
In terms of
like football stupid.
Football okay. stupid. Yeah, like yeah, I yeah, said, yeah. in terms of football, I gotcha. They just didn't really show football intelligence as a defense. Could you remember? Eric was in, what, week 12, 13 against the Chargers? He was coming in. He hadn't played a down. He was coming in telling Orlando, who had been out there all year, telling Kendall, who had been out there all year, telling Steve Nelson where they're supposed to be lined up. Routinely, the linebackers looked lost, like they didn't know where they were supposed to be lined
but how,
up.
But how wasn't all that coaching? I'm serious.
No, but listen, we know that Bob doesn't make any adjustments. Some of it's coaching, but how the hell y'all know where y'all need to be lined up in week 13? Like, how do you not know? He don't change nothing. What, like he was coming in with new game plans? How do you not know where to line up?
Listen, every time I had that defense explained to me by Sean Barber, he would talk about how complicated it was, and you would really see it at its best when guys had been in it for years and worked together for years. That secondary, that linebacking core last year was a thrown-together scrap heap, basically.
Steve Nelson had been in the defense for like 4 years.
Okay, he's playing with different safeties and different corners and different linebackers.
Dan had been in it for years. The issue is
when you think too much in that defense. I don't know if it's easy to say that Dan Sorensen and Steve Nelson are dumb football players, and that's why that defense, that's one of the reasons why that defense struggled.
Them as a whole, they did. They were always in position, not seeming to know the position. Ron Parker, who played in the defense for a long time, would mess up and miss. Like, they weren't intelligent football players. In this game, that can't fly. Because I've watched some tape on the Ravens. I watched them manipulate defensive backfields and linebackers against the Cardinals and the Dolphins to where you have to think on the fly because of Lamar's skill set. They will do a lot of action where they move Hollywood Brown and some of their speed parts around, a lot of window dressing where you have to be smart and do your job and cover who you're supposed to cover and make adjustments on the fly. They weren't that last year. I don't think that's all Bob. And they've got to be intelligent in the way they're going to be handling this offense. That's something that they struggled with last year.
Sure. I'm not going to argue it that they didn't make heady plays last year. But the portion of the pie that the athletes on the field's football IQ, that portion of the pie as to why that defense sucked so bad last year, to me, that can't be larger than 10 or 15%. Because it's on a coach and a coaching staff to adjust according to the players that you were given. Right? Bob, you can't just continue to try and force, again, a square peg into a round hole. And that's what he did last year. Ron, I refuse to believe, because that to me sounds like an excuse. Coaching is about sometimes dumbing it down for players, but coaching most certainly is adjusting to the talent that you have. And it sounds like on both of those fronts, he failed. That is 80, 85, 90% of the problem last year. I'll agree that they didn't always play smart, but man, I don't look at that as a direct reflection of the guys on the field last year.
And I do. I do. By week 12 or
week...
Well,
then we could go through it name by name, and you say smart or just dumb or bad player. Dumb or bad player, because...
Now, they have some changes. A lot of those, some of those guys aren't here now.
Right.
But week 12, week 13, a guy who has not played with you all year has to tell you where you line up. That to me...
Do you think that would have been a problem if Steve Spagnuolo was the head coach? I
potentially.
Come on. No way.
I'm not buying that for a second.
That
yes.
A quality coach wouldn't have accountability. A quality coach wouldn't have not only held his players accountable, but also would have adjusted to their ability to comprehend.
But Vern, we agree that Bob didn't make adjustments at all. They ran the same defense all the time.
Sure.
Like they ran the same thing.
Not even in-game adjustments.
No.
In-week adjustments.
Yes, they ran the same stuff. By 13 weeks as a corner, man, in your defense, you don't know where to line up. Some of that is coaching because maybe they're not hammering it down. But good gracious, man, if I'm doing 12, 13, people, if I know the NFL is different. Many of you have played sports in high school or whatever. By the 13th week of whatever sport it was, y'all ain't changing plays. You knew what a UCLA cut was. You knew what your calls were in basketball. You knew the plays in football. Some of that has to go to the players if Eric Berry has to come off the bench and line your ass up.
Right, but it's not, again, that defense, it's not, all right, here's what you're doing, now go do it. That defense was all about reacting to what the offense did at the line of scrimmage and after the snap. I think you're simplifying it.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306, 913-576-7610. You can get the last word on this. If you have any thoughts on anything that you've heard, we've talked about so far this morning, you can get the last word. I can see this developing, Vern. I can see this developing with Eric Fisher.
I thought you were going to say these sing-alongs with your son.
Coming up, no. I'm not going to let that happen. No, that's it, man. That's it.
You started doing it, so then I did it because I didn't want him to feel bad. But that was awkward, man.
The barbecue part is his favorite part when he gets to go barbecue.
Do you always have to do that at home? Yeah. Like when he just busts in the song, you have to sing along?
Is that how he wakes you up in the morning?
Sometimes he does it himself. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I can see this now because Serta was saying this earlier. He said, didn't you say you were a little worried about Eric Fisher's injury?
I am a little concerned about it because I think Eric Fisher is a little bit better than you give him credit for while not being the best left tackle in the game or anything like that. But the Ravens put more pressure on quarterbacks than any team in the NFL through the first couple of weeks of the season. They have a very, very physical pass rush, and I'm kind of afraid that Cam's going to get worked over a little bit.
I can see it happening. Like Cam Irving or whoever they play at tackle over there, we believe it'll be Cam, will probably give up some pressures over the next 4 to 6 weeks, maybe even some sacks, probably some sacks. And then people are going to forget what it was like when Eric Fisher was out there. People are going to make Eric Fisher believe that he was more – like people in their mind probably think Eric Fisher plays the way Mitchell Schwartz does. That's what it'll be like when Cam is playing and we'll get up, man, we needed Eric. But you forget, Eric used to – everything that you're describing, that was Eric Fisher at times. Eric Fisher gives up sacks. Eric Fisher gives up pressures. Eric Fisher lets people turn the corner on him a lot. I just pet Eric – The growth or the thought of Eric Fisher and his greatness is going to be so high by the time he returns.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Isn't that? Yeah, that's a saying. I said that right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's what I could see that happening. Sure. That happened to Dan Sorensen last year. Remember when Dan Sorensen came back from that injury?
Oh, yes.
Everybody's like, all right.
Dan, we don't need... We don't need to trade for anybody. We were talking about get a safety in here, Landon Collins. Huh? No. You got Dan coming back? Like, we forgot.
So it's, but it won't be that bad.
I don't think
because that was embarrassing. I mean, Fisher is an upgrade. Fisher is better than Cam Irving. Fisher is someone that you would prefer in December and January. So, yeah, I don't disagree that every time Cam Irving screws up, we'll find ourselves in a place of, well, Eric Fisher is returning. But I don't think that's as bad as most fans have done in the past. And as long as you have the awareness that Eric Fisher's good, he's not great. He's an above-average tackle. That's good enough. I think you should have that kind of an expectation.
Yeah, he's an average tackle, and that's good enough for them to get to where they want to get.
Well, to me, when it comes to offensive linemen, there's bad, there's average, and there's great. I don't think there's very much in between.
You don't think there's between average and great?
Maybe, but it's really not that large of a difference in my mind. I think you can get by with average. As long as you're not bad, I'm cool with you. And Eric Fisher isn't bad.
He's
a good tackle.
Like, I think Mitchell Schwartz is good, really good. Yeah. I think Trent Williams is great.
Okay.
So I think there is a difference between those two, like in that form of it. Whew. All right, 1 hour down, baby. All right, coming up, Vern, I think life to me is about decisions. And I think decisions that you make scream by the actions that you push with them. And Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, made a decision that he put into action that I think said a mouthful. And we'll get into that coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.